And that applies to everybody but this one man in the front row. If you'll come join me, Brad. If you know who this man is, you have a hard time not applauding his arrival here today. So, good man. Family. This is Brad Butcher, and Brad and Jen are missionaries from our church. They live in India much of the year, in Hyderabad, India. Brad's an evangelist. Brad was on our staff, and Brad has always had a heart for people that are checking Jesus out, wondering about, can Jesus do in my life what we just heard him do in Sue's life? And so, Brad, you can tell us about that, but last Christmas, many of us here at Grace Point participated in a kind of a fundraiser, a way to participate. We called it passion, not passion,
conspiracy,
something.
Advent.
That's it. It was Christmas, so Advent conspiracy. Let's put those two words together. And here, Brad, go ahead and finish this, would you?
Yeah, I think I'm on.
No, here's the deal, Brad. We sent that money there,
yes.
and it's to build a rehab center. Tell
That's
us
right.
What's happening on that.
Well, we've paid off the property, the rest of it. We're getting permits for the land. It's 2 acres. We're working on. It's quite a process to get electricity out there, and then water, and getting the plans. Doug Wynn has been voluntary to help with the, getting the plans finalized so we can get them submitted and approved. And so little by little, things are a little slower in India than we would hope, and I'm sure other missionaries have experienced that in these other countries. But we're encouraged.
Good.
Things are coming together.
Good. I know that it's you know, there's a huge alcohol and substance abuse situation there. And, of course, we all know that's true here, too.
Yeah.
And, in fact, here at Grace Point, a whole lot of people find Grace Point a refuge to recover.
Yeah.
To, you know, last Sunday, a whole bunch of people that are taking one moment, in some cases, at a time,
that's right.
Saying, God, thank you for Grace Point. And it's a place of refuge. It's a place where I'm not condemned, but people wrap their arms around me. And it's a struggle I wish I didn't have, but thank God for people that don't, you know, look down their nose at me. And so you're speaking to a similar crowd this morning in that we're imperfect people here.
That's right.
But I'm excited. I don't know if there's a slide that has shown up yet, but there's maybe it'll come up, a slide of your family and stuff. You might want to point that out. But take it from here, would you?
Okay.
Tell
All
us
right.
What's going on.
That sounds great. And I think is this the pointer? Right? All right. Let's see how this works. New toy here. Hold on. Laser. Aha! That's great. Yeah, so it's been a great 6 months, really, since I was here last. And we've seen God do a lot of things. We of course, have been enjoying the family growing. We've got 4 kids, 7, 5, 3, and 1. We're just trying to keep the sequence going here. But... But it's been a lot of fun having the 4 kids there. You know, they're the greatest missionaries anyone knows. I mean, there's not a lot of white kids, not a lot of white people, period, but kids in particular. So our kids are pretty much Hollywood movie stars. And everywhere they go, there's photo shoots, you know, there's autographs if they could write their name. But we've got the family. We're enjoying life in India together. Jen's homeschooling the 2 older ones, and we've got our hands full, but it's full of treasures, and that's a cool thing. So we did, I'll just give you a couple things. We did a marriage, Biblical Foundations of Marriage course. My dad put it together. He was there with us, and it was a real hit, and we've got all these requests for us to do the course in a lot of different churches because they haven't heard a lot of biblical teaching on marriage. Which is, you know, again, a lot of the pastors are not real trained, and so some of these things have just gone without a real focus. One guy's been Christian, I think, about 25 years, and we were sitting there talking about the course, and he started crying, and he said, I can't believe all these years I've been mistreating my wife and my kids. And I just feel so bad, you know. And I've just found myself apologizing over and over again. And now I've got God's word to guide me to treat my wife as a fellow heir and with respect, and to learn how to make decisions together, and, you know, treating my kids with the value God tells me to, and not exasperating them and all this stuff. And he was just going off, and I was just like, this is awesome. God, you're so awesome. We get this little opportunity to invest in these families. And I just can see the life just sprouting up in this guy. You know, he's getting more confidence, and he really wants to be a follower of Jesus in every area of his life. Amen? And we can be part of helping him do that, just as we're on the same journey, and it's exciting. So that's going to expand. They're going to give us illustrations from India, all the illustrations from America. And so we said, you give us the illustrations that work for India, and we'll make a new kind of teaching tool and give it to you guys and train some trainers. So that's something in progress with the Urban Outreach Institute, and we're excited about that. And then we've got a chance to do City Fest. We had a $4,000 gift from a local Indian businessman. Isn't that cool? And so we're meeting some of the right people. And this is something Doug Nguyen has really encouraged us on. You know, how do we get things to be more sustainable and get people supporting things in India? And so that was just a huge boost when I got that check. I was jumping up and down almost. We had some trouble cashing it. But anyways, we finally did get it. It just took a few more weeks, but after the festival. But anyways, so we had 6,000 young people come to City Fest. We had a great response, and you know, it just brings you to tears a lot of times seeing people give their life to Jesus, you know, and understand what that means from death to life, you know, on a journey to hell to a journey to heaven. I mean, it doesn't get better than that. And so we're getting people to respond. I'll tell you more what happened afterwards there. we wanted to start a coffee shop, and we've got all this equipment over there. And I made a proposal to a Christian businessman last fall. His name's Scott Norling. He's been there about 20 years. Wonderful man. He's also the pastor of the church that we go to. And we were just talking with him about it. I wrote out this proposal. He looked at it and he said, huh. Coffee shop church plant. Said, I've been dreaming about buying this franchise from this Gloria Jean Coffee Company out of Australia. And I want to do 50 coffee shop church plants throughout India. Why don't you be on my core team, make it happen? You can just help us do this. I said, one coffee shop or 50? Let me think about that. And so when I get back on the 12th, I'm going to meet with him. We're going to talk about the next steps. And so God's doing some amazing things. And I'm, you know, Jen and I just kind of look at each other sometimes and say, okay, Lord, you know, we're on the ride. We're in the adventure here. And you guys are on it with us. We could not do this without you. And I know that sounds cliche, but there's some real reality, and I'll share a little more about that in a minute. we're seeing second-generation believers. You know, we've been there almost 2 years. Isn't that crazy? But within 2 years, we had people last year get saved at City Fest, and then those people are leading people to Christ. And, you know, I've been kind of discipling these young guys. And it's so exciting when they bring people to church or to our McDonald's meetings where we often meet, or KFC. And these guys are really hungry because they've been witnessing to them. And they've been testifying to them. And they've been talking about how Jesus is there for them. And these guys are, their families aren't saved yet. They're Muslim Hindu boys. They're about 16 years old, 16, 17, and God is using them. And we're reaching their friends together and their family. Isn't that awesome? Just this last month, we had two Muslim boys come to Christ through these guys. And I'm just going, man, this is just really awesome. And one of the guys, Manu, he's a Hindu guy, he just told me he wants to plant a church in Nepal once he gets old enough and everything. He's only in high school. But he's from Nepal originally. And he's so excited. He's going to do a mission trip this summer. Summer is actually right now in India. And so I'm excited to see what God does. And then Shania and Amelia in our neighborhood, we have this one girl, Sakina, and her parents both work, and they just leave her at home. You know, it's a different world. She's, I think, 8 years old. And so we kind of saw this happening. We said, why don't you come to our house when your parents aren't there? You know, we'd feel better if you were able to hang out with us. And her mom was delighted, and she was happy, and so we've been having her over, and she's a sweet girl. And we showed this Voice of the Martyrs. They made this Jesus cartoon gospel thing. It's really good. And so we were watching that, and then we were asking her about what she thinks of Jesus and stuff, and shared the gospel with her. And I could tell she wasn't really ready because it's the first time she's from a Muslim family. And I said, you know, maybe you got some questions and stuff, and that's okay. And we just want you to know we love you, and Jesus loves you. We've found that he's the greatest thing ever. You know, he's changed our lives, and he's always with us, and he's our best friend. And, you know, he wants to be that for you when you're ready, if you want to trust him. And so then, you know, we had that conversation. My kids are there. We're all sitting there. A few days later, they're out playing on this little kiddie pool on the porch there. And Shania comes running in. Daddy, Daddy, Sakina prayed the prayer. She asked Jesus in her heart. I said, oh, really? I said, well, what happened? You know, and so then they said they started talking to her about it. And while they were playing in the pool, you know, they led her in the prayer, her and Amelia. And I said, well, that's awesome. That's great, you know. And so I went out there and talked to her a little bit. And I think that she may have, you know. I really do. And so, you know, it's exciting to see your kids start to really see this is why we're here. This is what God can do. The reason we got into the rehab business, so to speak, is because we had one of our people that help us in our house. You know, living in India is a little more tedious. You know, your floors get so dirty every single day. Your feet turn black if you don't sweep and mop every day. So it's just a lot of work. So we have people that come in and help us, and it's a good job for them. It doesn't cost much. We have one girl helps with the dishes. It's probably cheaper to have her wash the dishes than it would be to pay the electricity for a dishwasher. I mean, that's kind of the comparison. And so, of course, we don't have a dishwasher. But so it's great. You know, it's great to have her doing that. And so these women, there's two women that come and help us, and they're wonderful. One's a Christian, Elizabeth. The other one is not a Christian, Bharati. And so we're hoping she'll come to Christ. We just moved to a little safer area, we felt, with some of the things that have happened, and closer to the church and closer to where I'll be working more. And so it's about an hour further for these girls to come every day. That's one way. And so we were really suffering with that. We just want Bharat to get saved, you know. It just seemed like she's getting so close. But you know, they just insisted to come with us. And that's they say, we're not leaving you. It's like Ruth and Naomi, right? We're not leaving you. I'm hoping that she'll say, your God is my God. You know, that's the next step. But anyways, but these girls worked with us. We had one cook helper that was getting beat up, had a broken arm. We were just brokenhearted for her, and then she disappeared. She was our first cook helper. Lived close by in a slum, and just broke her heart. And we sent someone looking for her, and nobody would say anything. And we're pretty sure that maybe her husband killed her, because he was an alcoholic. She told us that, and she had admitted he had beat her at times. And this happens in India. There's a lot of unregistered people. You know, there's a lot of people. And so we started seeing these patterns. And then Bharati came not too long ago. She was all beat up. And fortunately, her husband left, and he's living somewhere else now. But she has three boys, three teenage boys. And she's in a tough spot. She has to work so hard to get them, keep them in school. And so we're just, you know, trying to pray and work with them. And then God just started burdening Jen and I to say, what can we do for these families? I mean, look how they're suffering because of alcohol abuse. That was the main problem. And there's, you know, salvation is the main answer. But through some recovery ministry, maybe they could find Christ, find who they are in Christ, become the men that their families need. Amen? And that's a process for all of us. But these guys are in big challenge. So we started praying, and, And, you know, my message today is from Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. It's a very familiar passage. I'm hoping God will blow it up a little bit for us today in a simple way. But what it says, of course, is trust in the Lord with all your heart. Come on, say it with me. And do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths or make your path straight, whichever way you learned it. If you haven't learned it, learn it. It's one of the first verses that we teach people when we do discipleship, right? It's so key for life. And so, trust the Lord. What does that mean, to trust the Lord with all your heart and not lean on your own understanding? You know, Jesus said it this way. He said, follow me. It's the same thing. Trusting the Lord with all your heart, acknowledging Him. The word acknowledge is really talking about unconditional submission of your ways to Him. Acknowledging Him as Lord. Being aware of His presence and His voice. Saying, God, in all my ways, I'm looking to You. What say You? It's what we've been, you know, the sermon series. I love it. I've been kind of following Grace Point stuff. I get the bulletin emails. I love it. I love to pray with you guys. You know, we're still part of this family, and that's important. But this is really what God is asking us. He's saying, follow me. But you got to trust me with all your heart to follow me. There has to be a level of trust. Do you trust the Lord God? Do you trust Him? Now, if you're honest, you don't trust Him with everything. I don't trust Him with everything. There are things I have a hard time trusting the Lord with. Is that true? It's pretty easy to prove, actually. If you just look, for example, at your checkbook. Doug and I were talking about this today. Where you spend your money shows what you trust in to some degree. Because we all spend money on things that we feel like we need, right? Things that will be a help to us. Things that may be a comfort to us. Things that we feel make us happy. And we spend money, and it reflects where we're putting our trust, right? And the Bible has a lot to say about trust and money, because God says you can only serve one master, either God or mammon or money, right? You're only going to trust one or the other, and you got to make the choice. And it has some pretty serious consequences. And God wants us to choose Him and say, give your money to me. What takes the greatest trust? Give your money to me. Give your time to me. Give your talent to me. That's what God's asking. And if we do it, He has amazing, incredible things in store. That's His promise. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has even conceived what? The wonderful things God has prepared for those who love Him or fear Him. And that's a wonderful promise in Corinthians, isn't it? But sometimes we look at God like this, like, oh, yeah, you probably don't have a lot for me, so I'm going to go this way. I'm going to trust my own understanding. And so sometimes God has to kind of pull the rug out from under us and say, oh, whoops, you fell on your face. Let's see. Okay, now you're looking up. Now you can look up. And He does it with so much grace. In that same chapter, Proverbs 3, it says, don't be upset when the Lord disciplines you, because He disciplines the children that He loves. His discipline means He actually loves you. He's owning you. He's saying, wait a second, I'm not going to let you waste your life. I'm not going to let you trust everything else except for me. Your life will be a mess. It'll be a loss. You're my kid. I'm going to keep pursuing you. I'm going to keep coming after you and teaching you. I had an experience like this. I'm just like you. We're all in the same boat. We have this festival. We have an after party. And 10 guys come. And it was quite a day, I've got to be honest with you. It was pretty evident to me midway through, okay, God, You got some things in store today that I'm not sure what's going to happen. God has a way of preparing us for things that come, because He really is a Father. and where's kids? Right? If something big is going to happen, like we're going to take a trip to America and it's going to be a 30-hour journey on airplanes, we prepare the kids. You know, we're talking about the trip. We're you know, getting them mentally ready, and we're getting them excited. It's going to be great. You know, we're doing all this stuff. And, of course, we're preparing ourselves. But it's because we know this is going to be a big deal for them, because they're going to be up all night and this and that. And so we try to prepare them for these things. And God was doing that. We're on our way to this after party, and I call the two guys that were picking up from Last City Fest. They're going to help disciple the new guys. And it was exciting. They were excited. Not like 5 minutes later, I arrive at the McDonald's meeting place that we normally meet, and they're not there. I'm like, what's going on? I just talked to you. You said you were waiting there. And so then I finally get a hold of them after a bunch of calls. And they said, we got arrested. We're at the police station. I said, oh, man, what did you guys do? He said, we didn't do anything. We were just sitting there on the Ronald McDonald bench. You know, you can take a picture with Ronald. In India, they actually take pictures with him. They love it. And so they got the Ronald McDonald bench. And they said, what happened is some ladies were getting harassed by these two guys who were sitting on that bench. They called the police. But then those guys took off. Of course, they didn't know what was going on. There's so many people, this and that. They saw the bench open up. They went and sat down. And then the police come. There's two guys on the bench, which is what they described. Take them off. And they're like, we didn't do anything. We're just sitting here. No, you did it. And so, you know, in India, you're guilty till proven innocent. It's just a different justice system. And then you're also guilty until you give money. So that's what happened. We showed up at the police station after figuring out which police station they're at. My dad said, all right, you keep going because we need to get to the meeting. And, you know, $12 later, praise God. Praise God, it's India, right? $12 later, they head out. So $12 is a good bribe for a police guy. So we head on out to the place, and you got to understand this. There were a bunch of people killed just a few days before by bombs, bicycle bombs. And we passed right by where those people were killed. Isn't that interesting? And it was still pretty messed up there. But there were so many things going on that week. And looking back, we said, God, number one, thank you for having the bombs happen like 3 days after the festival instead of 3 days before. Because we wouldn't have the festival. I mean, the whole place was locked down, the whole area. And we were just like, okay, God, you wanted those guys to hear the gospel. And you knew what was happening. You knew how to time things perfectly. Praise God. And so then we get to the place, and they had to change the location the day before. For whatever reason, we're going to be at this national chain coffee shop. Instead, we're at this local restaurant. And the girl that coordinates for us said, yeah, I know the person, the owner and stuff. It's fine. I said, okay. Sent out a text to everyone. Come to this place, not that place. We show up. There's 10 guys ready, hungry. So about 15 minutes, we're just having a great time. And midway through, three guys say, we can't understand the English that well. Can we have a translator? So one of the youth pastor guys that's helping us, and my dad offers, I'll take him, three guys that go over to the next table, and they start doing the translation. As soon as that started, about 5 minutes, and we're explaining the good stuff, you know. We're talking about salvation is a gift. You can't earn it. These are important things, right? You don't add Jesus to everything else, and Jesus is not paying attention to caste and money and all these things. It's free gift. It's because of what he did, and he loves you so much. And it was awesome. And so we were doing this stuff. We're going through the scriptures, and these guys get up, go over to the owner, and they say, if you don't kick these guys out, we're going to beat up your place. And they're arguing back and forth. Finally, the owner comes over, and he lies. He says, you guys told me it was going to be a birthday party. That's not what you're doing. Get out of here, you know. And so we're like, okay. We didn't tell him it was a birthday party. He knew we were doing kind of a Bible study, because I guess they did Bible studies there previously. And so so we just say, okay, we pay the bill, we walk outside, and we try talking to these guys. I mean, they need Jesus, right? They're two young guys, and so we start trying to talk to them, and they're on their phone. They're calling and this and that, and all of a sudden, these people start showing up, these young guys on their bikes, on their motorcycles. Not bicycles, but they're on motorcycles. And so our friends say, you guys better get out. I think something's been planned. And so we jump in the car and, you know, we start trying to back out and get out. And then they pull their motorcycles behind us, in front of us, beside us. And then they start chanting the names of their idols. And they're saying, say this idol is Lord. Say this idol is Lord. They're pounding on the window and trying to get us to say it. And we say, you know, we're sorry, but we believe Jesus is Lord. We're, you know, kind of saying that through the window, of course. Door's locked. It was quite an adventure. We had two young people that came with us, part of the team in the back seats. They coached them through whatever they said in Telugu, the local language, to get out. They jump out. The doors are open. And we're like, all right. We're trying to call people. No one's answering. You know, we felt a little bit helpless. Except for one thing, what's that? God. So that's what God does. He's like, hey, I'm going to set you up to where I'm the only go-to guy so that you understand that you can only trust me when it comes down to it. What's important in life? Now, your life is pretty important, you know, when you're in this situation. And so we're praying. My dad's amazing. He's a man of God. I just love my dad, and it was such a blessing to have him there with me. And so he's praying, and he's quoting scriptures, you know. The door's open. He looks back. He tries to grab it and pull it shut. And it was just in a split second. It was just like the doors were closed. All we could say was, wow, okay, that's cool. Thank you, Lord. Because they were holding them open. They looked like they were getting ready to come in and get us. And God just closed the doors. Some of you have been praying for us regularly. We've been sending those prayer updates. And how many of you guys have been praying for us? I can tell. I mean, it was just like the presence of God was there. Thanks, Brian. The presence of God was there. And we were kind of expecting some miracles, okay? Isn't that cool to be in a situation and you know God's there? So the doors closed, and then some big Christian guys show up just a few minutes later, and they start distracting them. And they start beating on those guys, and they're taking it for the team, so to speak. They were good guys. I know them because they've been helping for a few weeks on this event. And so they're getting showed around. It's mob mentality. You know, they're all like getting into it and stuff. It was perfect because then someone snuck the bike behind us out of the way. We scooted out. We start heading down the road, and we're like, thank you, Lord. You know, we're like shouting in the car, praise Jesus, Lord, thank you. This is awesome. And, you know, they were pounding so hard on our car for a while, the top council thing came out. And they kicked off our mirror. I mean, they were just pounding so hard. It was just like, I was a little freaked out for a few minutes. I got to be honest. So it was such a big relief to like, yes, we're out of there, you know. This is awesome. Thank you, Lord. I'm trying to call Jen, of course, the whole time, and I can't reach her. And we get down to this intersection, and there's just a ton of traffic in India. And so we get out on this road. All of a sudden, this guy pulls his bike around and just drops the bike right in front of the car just as I'm getting going and jumps on the hood. I was like, what is going on? Who are you? You know, it's like, are you filming a movie or something? I mean, what's going on? I don't understand why you're doing these crazy things. And you're going to get killed. There's cars going by. And it's like, you know, so I have to back up, you know, and I'm backing into traffic. And I'm just like, Lord, don't let me hurt anyone, you know. And then I get out from behind the bike, and I get going, and I'm trying to get him off the hood, you know. And he's just, I'm just like, I don't want you getting hurt, because then I'll really be in trouble. That's what I was thinking. I had a couple pastor friends later say, why you just go like that, you know, and he's like, get him, you know, or something. I was like, are you kidding me? I mean, I hurt, you know, they're crazy. If I hurt one of their guys, you know, they're going to have a posse after me for sure. And so we're just praying. It's a very sensitive, delicate situation when the bad guys have a lot of friends, right? And so he falls off, and it was awesome. We're like, yes, we just kept going. You know, next stop, there was a traffic police guy, and we pulled up right next to him, you know. They're all waiting behind us in their bikes. And we're just like, now what, you know. And we get going, and we race, and we're dodging all this traffic. They're pulling up beside us. They're trying to do stuff, and, you know, they got like a brick in their hand or something, and I'm just like, Lord, what are we going to do? And then I can't go home. You know, I'm just like, where do I go? And the Lord's peace was there. The Lord's presence was there. It's a weird mix. And we get to this huge traffic circle. There's like 100 cars surrounding us, and we're stuck. And there's really nowhere to go. And finally, they pull in front of us and stuff. They throw a brick through the back window. all this glass is all over us. We're just like, Lord, you know, what do you want to do? This is cool. You know, and I'm trying to think what to do. And that's, again, when the Lord's just like, I got you. I got you. You know, it's just like the Lord told his disciples. He said, when you get arrested, when you're hated. Do you notice that when Jesus is preparing his disciples? It's not if you get arrested, if they start hating you. He's saying, look, it's going to happen if you represent me. Isn't that true? That's a promise, by the way, for all of us. If you are my witnesses, if you are representing me in this world, there will be haters. There will be attacks. There will be persecution. Whoever wishes to live a godly life will be persecuted. These are scriptures. They're promises. And you can just see the disciples when they heard it's like, not sure this is what we signed up for. Jesus told them this when things are really going well and there's huge crowds, by the way. Isn't that interesting? I mean, they're thinking, yeah, Jesus, man, we're on the Jesus team. And Jesus is like, well, hold on. The Jesus team's going to get interesting. And it's going to get deep. But I'm going to tell you this. I'll be with you. I will be with you. I will give you the words to say. I will show you what to do. I will provide a way. Isn't that cool? Do not be afraid, because I am with you. I have overcome the world. And so God is giving us that promise. Now, I know I'm short on time, so I need to just wrap this up. But I want you guys to think about something. When you're in those tough spots in life, it doesn't have to be guys chasing you. It can be tough marriage moment, right? It can be kids that aren't following the Lord, making bad choices. Aren't these moments when you don't know what to do? When you really feel in over your head? When the question of trusting God is biggest, right? Maybe it's a decision about job. Maybe it's a decision about spending money, buying a house, other things. Maybe it's somebody that's attacked you in different ways. People attack us, right? I just talked to one of our board members and the owner of the company he worked for years. He traveled 49 days out of 79 for the company to get these projects started. He was so dedicated, so good at what he did. The guy got divorced and needed to pay off the divorce. Sells the company to whoever and pretty much says everyone's done. No call, no warning. He finds out from a fellow employee, hey, nice working with you. What? Oh, yeah, he sold the company. We're all done. Great. Very little severance, nothing. And this guy's mid-50s. He's almost 60 years old. Hey, thanks a lot, buddy. Thanks for being such a good boss. People do that, don't they, in this world? And we all have those stories, don't we? Here's the question. Who are you going to trust in that moment? Who are you going to look to? How are you going to act? How are you going to respond? This board member, I was so proud of him. He was telling me how God was leading him. God was giving him peace. God's presence was there when he was telling his wife. It was a big shock, right? But God, guess what? God is not ever shocked. Amen? When these guys attacked, God wasn't like, oh no, follow-up plan got ruined, you know, oh no, what's happening? Poor Brad. No, God's like, okay, this is going to be good. This is going to be good. You just wait and see. About the moment the brick goes through a back window, a way opens up. My dad was like, look. I was like, okay, get going, you know. And we got through. It was just, there's in India traffic, there's just no way. I mean, I've been in it hundreds of times. This doesn't happen. You have to wait. And we just went right through. It was just, this is God just said, move this car, that, you know, get them on through. We got through. We get through the intersection. We get going. Now we're heading towards our house. Our house is about an hour from where the attack happened. And I was just praising the Lord for that. And a lot of city in between. But I get going, and then, you know, again, Lord, wisdom. What do? The Lord reminds me there's a police station at that circle. So I go down to the nearest U-turn. Whippy, we come back. I drive right through the exit. There's all these guys with machine guns standing there. And they're just like, whoa. And of course, you just think everyone's going to understand. But they don't. You know, it's like, get out of here, back you up. They've got the guns, so I back up. And we park outside, and we run inside. And, of course, nobody will talk to us. And we're just like, what is going on? This is a police station. Shouldn't they talk to you? And you know, it was God. And that's the cool thing, is that God will give you a sense of what he's doing, even if it doesn't make sense, right? Those guys came running in, by the way. And we were like trying to keep the desk between us and them. Okay, you guys stay over there. We're going to be over here. Hey, how's it going? You know, there's all these people. You know, India, any place, like any public place, there's a million people doing whatever. And so we just kind of kept our distance, waiting for our Christian pastor friends to come who could translate and talk to people and, you know, deal with things. But all through this, God was doing things. His timing was perfect. Finally, one of my friends called. He said, don't file a charge. Don't do anything. Let the locals do it. And I said, okay. All right, we'll do it. This guy has been there 20 years. He knows. He said, stay off the radar. It was the perfect timing because I was about ready to fill out the file, you know, the thing, and say, here's what these guys did to us. And so God was there in preparing the way. They moved us to a different station. He said, this is the wrong place. You got to go to the station where the attack happened. So we go there. And then these guys run up to the inspector, and they start, you know, these guys. And they were pressing charges against us for trying to convert young people. That was their deal. And so the inspector listened for a few minutes, and it was just like an angel whispered in his ear, because then he turned on them, and he said, you guys are a bunch of idiots. I mean, this is the rough translation. you guys are shaming our nation. What are people going to think? Look at their car. Our car was parked there. He goes, you guys make me sick. He just started drilling. I mean, I'm not kidding. Probably 10, 15 minutes, he was just screaming at these young guys. And he just totally shamed them. He said, you go wait on the road. I didn't want you on my property. So they go down there, you know, tails tucked, you know. They go stand over there. He goes over and takes pictures of the car. He is totally sick by the whole thing. And they were expecting something different. You could tell. I mean, they ran right up to the guy, and they were like, you know. They were thinking he was going to arrest us and report us, and we're going to get kicked out of the country. That was their goal. But God is bigger than all these things. He laughs at the proud and the haughty. You know, you guys, only thing that's going to happen to Brad Butcher and Fred Butcher is things I want to happen. Amen? And I want them here. And I'm going to just send you guys to the road. You're not going to say another word. There's no place for you. Isn't that awesome? Because that's the God that we serve. And this picture right here of this guy getting counseled, that's the guy. Isn't that interesting? He got counseled at City Fest. This is Sonny, our pastor friend, counseling this guy. That's how he knew we changed the location the day before. That's how he could be there waiting. That's how he could arrange all these guys to come and attack. Isn't that interesting? And there's the back window you can see where they threw the brick through, and there's a few bumps and bruises. Everything along the way, wisdom was there, counsel was there. I got a hold of Jen when we were safe, which that's God's wisdom, right? You don't need to freak your wife out for no reason, right? So that's just kind of the way it goes. So I got home. Jen and I, you know, we cried for a while together, but we just had a wonderful time reflecting on God's goodness and God's protection. A few weeks before, we were even talking about this very thing happening. We were saying, if something were to happen to us, because Jen lost her dad when she was 5 in a hunting accident, always afraid of losing me. See, God knows your fears. He knows what's happened to you as a kid along the way that makes some things hard for you. And oftentimes, those are the very things that God allows things to happen in those areas, so he can bring that healing. He can bring that attention that's needed to deal with things in his way. Because you're his masterpiece. You're the one he loves so much. And he's not just going to let you sit there and rot in despair and let these things control your life and keep you out of the game. Because that's what happens. When you trust other things besides Jesus Christ, you don't have the mission on your mind. those things are idols in your life. Those things keep you from saying yes to God when you really need to, from listening to God. They keep you from even, what does it look like when you don't trust the Lord? Here's what it looks like. You don't have a hunger and thirst for God's word. Guaranteed. You'll read it, maybe out of habit, or you won't read it because you're not interested, because God has disappointed you, because the enemy's lied to you. And you've looked at your circumstances, and God wasn't there, or maybe he allowed something. I could have been upset. It was costly. My whole car was destroyed. I was very thankful. It was my car, not me. But I had a choice to make perspective-wise, didn't I? Am I going to look at this and say, God, I don't know why this happened, but I praise you because you are God that takes things like this and uses them, right? You're a God who can take anything. God promised to turn all things together for the good of those who love him. You trust him, love him, called according to his purpose. You've been called, you've been chosen. You're his child. If you're not his child, today's the day to get in the family. Because there's no father like Jesus Christ, no father like God, the Bible, who created you and loves you and sent his own son to take all the shame, all the pain, all the guilt, all the bad stuff you've done that's hurt you and hurt others. He took it on himself, took the punishment on the cross. Even though he had never sinned, he was your substitute. And then he rose from the dead to say, the punishment's been paid in full, and I'm alive. And I will be with you. I will come if you invite me. I will come into your life. I will make you new. I will never leave you. Even if you continually disappoint me and mess up. We disappoint God, right? But he doesn't look at it that way. He's not keeping track. He's not, gosh, I'm kind of sick of you. I'm just tired of dealing with your stuff. No. God doesn't get worn down like we do. God sees us in our perfection. God sees what he's making. God is undeterred. He's unstoppable. His love is incredible. He's saying, look, I'm never giving up on you. He's saying the day you choose to trust me with your whole heart, guess what's going to happen? I'm going to make your path straight. I'm going to start making things clear. I'm going to show you the best way. Don't you need answers for things? Don't you ask what's the best way? And God is saying, I can give it to you. I know the best way. I already know what's in the future. I'm the only one that can give you absolutely, without fail, the best way. And that's God's promise for you, but it's not going to come if you're looking elsewhere. He says, look into my word. Spend time with me. Follow me. You know what happens when you start listening to God's word? Amazing miracles happen. I was coming back from this beach retreat yesterday, and I felt God telling me to visit my old house. Because they asked me if I could stop by, and I was really busy, but I just said, you know, I think it would mean a lot to them. So I stopped in. We chatted for a few minutes. The neighbor, Omar, is outside working on his yard, and there's a Cinco de Mayo lunch special outreach thing at the church that I just knew about today. And I just felt the Lord saying, you better invite him. He's Hispanic. He'd probably love that. And maybe something miraculous could happen. Right? It's always possibilities of God. So I had to go invite him. And he said, man, you should go. You know, a few words of Spanish from Mexico mission trips that we used to do here. I got a few words in there. Dios de bendiga, you know, all that kind of stuff. So I threw out those. He loved it. And then I'm off. And I got to go to Safeway and get some mayonnaise, real mayonnaise for my wife, you know, for India. And I realized I need to get that. I'm going to forget. I need to honor her. She loves that. I stopped there. I got to go to the bank and get some cash. Take back to India so I don't have to pay transfer fees. I'm stopping at the bank while I'm trying to get the cash to come because, you know, they only give me a certain few dollars at a time kind of a thing for whatever reason. And so I'm getting the cash. Take me forever. And this woman comes up behind me, and she's a supporter of ours from here in town, and she hands me $100 cash. And I was like, wow, that was interesting circumstances, you know, the timing, the placement. And I was just worrying about the $100 I just spent at getting some stuff for India. And the Lord knew it. And he's like, you know, you don't really need to worry. I got a lot of money. And I'm your daddy. And I love you. And I know what's hard for you. And I'm walking with you. And if you listen to my voice and follow me each day of your life, I'll show you what no eye has seen, no ear has heard, what no mind could even imagine happening. And I will do awesome things because that's what I have planned for you, for my glory. And that's when you'll share Christ with people. Do you realize that? It all connects. I could beat you up as an evangelist, like, share Christ, share the gospel. But I'm not going to do that. I'm going to say, follow Jesus. Trust him with your whole heart. And you won't be able to stop sharing the gospel because he will not disappoint you. But you got to look to him. Let's pray, okay? Let's pray. And I want you to think about and talk with God about, God, do I really trust you with what's going on? Is my first response to get mad, to get upset when things happen that hurt me, that affect me? Or do I immediately look to you and say, I trust you, Lord. What do you want to do? I'm going to give this to you, Lord. I'm going to try to respond in a godly way to this, a way that honors you. I'm going to say, Lord, what do you want me to do? Give a blessing instead of a curse? Go the extra mile? What have you called me to do? You see, trusting in the Lord means that he will show you the path if you will unconditionally submit yourself to him. Say, I trust you no matter what happens. Divine direction begins with unconditional surrender and submission. Just give it to him. Say, God, I want to trust you. Maybe you need to say, God, I trust you with the bad stuff I've done, with the mistakes I've made, that you can turn it for good. I keep beating myself up. I keep disqualifying myself from really being close to you, for really being used of you. And I'm tired of letting the past beat me up because you said it's forgiven. You said it's gone. You don't think of it. You don't remember it. That's because of Jesus. He did that much for you. And right now, you need to disclaim that promise. Say, God, I trust you with my past. I trust you that you have given me a new future, that you will use my past. I submit it and give it to you 100%. Maybe you need to give your life to God today for the first time. Right now, you can just say, Creator God, I've sinned against you. I've sinned against others. I deserve to be punished. But today I've heard that you love me and want to give me a gift. You want to restore me. You sent Jesus to take my sins and my punishment. And he rose again. I put my trust in Jesus to make me right with you, Lord. I can't do it. I'm not good enough. I'll keep messing up. Thank you that I don't have to be perfect. You are perfect for me. I put my trust in you, Jesus, to make me new. And give me a brand new life. And I will follow you, Jesus. I want to follow you with my whole heart. Thank you for saving me. Just pray. You just pray as God leads. Give your life to him.